Why would God create darkness? Because see, in eternity and where God is light. In him there is no darkness. Nowhere God is there darkness. That's why when we walk with him, we walk in the light. Amen. We are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We walk in the light. And when we're in the light, the devil cannot come into the light. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. It doesn't understand the light. It cannot enter the light. Amen. But God created darkness because when the devil rebelled, when there was just one heaven, now there are three, when there was one heaven, and the devil rebelled, God withdrew himself. And with the withdrawal of light, there comes darkness. God created darkness for where he withdrew himself from. And so the universe became dark. That's why the outer space is dark. God removed himself from that second heaven and he created a third heaven where his throne is. Remember, Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. See, this first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. The second heaven is the cosmos and it's also the spiritual realm. But it's the third heaven that God withdrew himself from at the rebellion and it became dark. That's why in Genesis 1 and 2, it says that the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Holy Spirit moved on it. And God began the work of restoration. And right now we are in a time of restoration. Tell someone right now, God is restoring some things in your life. It's a time of restoration. Not a time to lose, not a time to be defeated, but a time of restoration. Amen. So kings overcome the kingdoms of this world. Sickness is a domain. Infirmity, poverty, false religions, secular humanism. I just wrote down a few. Antichrist spirits, corrupted strongholds in the minds of evil men, unrighteous economic systems. All of these are kingdoms, and kings are to overcome the kingdoms of this world. All right? So we wage war. Now remember, we fight, but it's not the angry carnal fight. It's another type of fight. All right? God, tell someone next to you, God expects you to act like a king and a ruler. We must demonstrate our kingship through conflict. Anybody can be full of joy when ain't nothing happening. Right? You understand what I mean? When everything is well, everything is going well, everything is in order. That's okay and it's good. Be happy there. But can you still exercise that type of dominion in the face of conflict? When things aren't well, when opposition comes, when can you exercise your patience? Can you still operate like a king? Can you still hold on to the destination while you're in the process? Come on. Kingdom authority is what we're talking about here. All right. Kings, I'll give you number two. Kings have a domain. A domain for a king is simply one's place of authority, where you have and can exercise authority. You know how they say a man's home is his castle, so to speak, where he exercises his dominion. Amen? Well, there's a domain that you have. The problem is many have not identified or know their domain or their place of dominion, their place of authority. Your domain, listen to me, is the place where you have the most authority. I'll just use this small analogy. If you are a hockey player trying to play lacrosse and never played it before, then you're not going to have much influence or much success trying to play professionally. No, your domain is hockey, where you grew up in it. You know all about it. You know all the rules. You're good at it. That's your place of influence. Your domain is the realm where God has given you the most influence. Okay? Now, the Greek word for domain is the word metron. It means a territory of rule. A territory of rule. Get for me, if you will, on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Whether you are a housewife, a nanny, postman, a plumber, it doesn't matter. All of us have some measure of influence and authority. Paul said this, but we will not boast of things without our measure or outside of our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Here's where we run into problems and situations that are difficult and can be demeaning and defeating is when we try to operate outside of our domain. You know, you trying to, let me say, keep up with the Joneses. You saw somebody else do it. And so now you're going to do it. And then you make a big mess of things because you're operating outside of your domain. We need to identify, define, where is your gifting? What did God call you into? What has he made you good at? What have you developed that you are good at? Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, that's your domain. Now, we don't want to get in that domain and define it and then become a settler. We are settlers. No, you're blocking somebody else now. No, we need to blaze a trail for the children that are behind us. They need to see us operating at optimum levels, doing the best that we know with all we have. And then they'll take it from there and they'll start where we end up and they'll take it to another level. Amen. That's how every generation should be. Right now, we have a baton. Tell somebody, I got a baton in my hand. Amen. And we're running so we can run that leg of the race and win that leg of the race and then pass it off to the next generation. Tell somebody, don't drop the baton and stop hot dogging. You know, hot dogging is just jogging. Now, we need to run this race. We need to rise into our kingship and, amen, have dominion in the domains that we are in because you have a seed that's coming behind you that has the same DNA that you have, that will come into that. They need to take it to another level. Amen. But we as kings, we have a domain, a metron, a territory of rule. Now, that territory of rule does not mean that I'm trying to rule over you and control you and dominate you. No, that's the wrong warfare. That's the princes of the Gentiles. The Gentiles operate like that. You know, people try to dominate and oppress people, make slaves out of them and make them work out of fear. No, that's not the kingdom of God. Amen. It's not the kingdom of God. Even in your home, you know, you shouldn't, husbands or wives, whichever, you shouldn't be trying to dominate the other one and keep them in fear. And you know, on your job, if you're a supervisor or a foreman, you know, people ought not be afraid of you because, you know, because you're going to hit them or, you know, you're going to get them fired or you threaten them all the time. No, there's another way. How did Jesus draw us? How does he rule over us? With love and kindness. Now, that might take you a little longer, but you know what? If you walk in that spirit, you will impact and help transform lives and not just have people disgruntled working for you. Hello? You know, Solomon, when the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, when she saw the servants, when she saw how they served, how the musicians came out and how the servers and the dancers and all the people and how they were so glad and so full of joy in serving, said she had no spirit left in her. She said, the half hadn't been told me. Because he had wisdom on how to deal with people. See, it takes a little longer. Hello? Somebody needs to hear this. It takes a little longer to when you treat people right and they don't know how to be treated right, but you treat them right. And it might take a little longer, but it has a long-lasting effect. It changes lives. How long did God deal with you? I said, how long did God deal with you to get you even to where you are now? How patient was he with you? How did he still care when you acted like you didn't care? When you went the other way, God still was patient for you. When the prodigal son left his father's house, he said, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. His father didn't say, all right, get out of here. Don't ever come back. Let the door hit you on your behind. Like some of us would have done. No, his father waited. He gave him what he wanted, but he knew his son. And he waited for him. Every day he'd go out and he'd look for his son. Because he knew that his son would be coming back. Amen. He had patience for his son. That's the heart of the father. That's how you and I have to rule as kings. One of the attributes of a king must be just.
Fair.
Not self-centered. Always looking out for self. But just. Kind. Amen. About five of y'all. Amen. Okay? So, sons and daughters of God are authorized to govern in their domain. You know, as I define one of the domains that I know that I'm called to be a teacher in the body. And you know what? It's not a struggle. Now, someone that's a teacher will understand what I'm talking about. You have a like gifting. Or if you prophesy and you stay before God, prophecy is not a struggle for you. You can prophesy. Amen. Or whatever it is, whatever domain where your gifting and your influence is, it's natural to you, where someone else will struggle with it. For you, it's a flow because it's your domain. It's where God called you to be dominant. God, how many know God needs people in politics? When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. How many know our nation needs people of righteousness in places of authority? We need saved mayors. Amen. Commissioners, congressmen, senators. Amen. We need people that are really saved that will hold to their convictions. Amen. So that the nation can be blessed. But sons and daughters of God are authorized to govern in the domain that God called them into. Number three, kings have influence. I heard a popular sports figure say one time years ago, I am not a role model. Well, that he wasn't a role model, but he had influence. I say it that way. He was a terrible role model, but you can't say you're not a role model. You know what I mean? You got influence. So whether you admit to it or not, you are influencing somebody. Tell somebody right now, somebody's watching you. And there's somebody out there who wants to be like Mike. Whether you do right or do wrong, they're going to emulate you. Amen. And we have to understand that as kings, even though you might not feel like it all the time, you might feel lesser, you might feel limited, all that, you have a measure of influence. Somebody is watching your life. If you're saved, somebody's watching your life. Amen. And somebody is either judging and you know, nitpicking your life, looking for stuff that's wrong. And amen, you know, God will protect you in that. God will, and you know, as they watch you, God's going to be able to speak to them.
This is Trevor Banks again, and I'd like to invite you to visit us tonight at Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Our services begin at 7:30 p.m. Come and join us for great music, anointed preaching, and warm fellowship. We're located just off US 1 at 405 Exoria Avenue in beautiful Fort Pierce, Florida.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.